Hello, this is Janet Gallen inviting you and welcoming you to another episode of Love Letters Live. Today's guest is a marvelous woman named Wheezy Mott. And she, before we started, she said, and I'm 92, and ordinarily age doesn't matter, and it doesn't matter, except I want you to know the scope of the life she's lived and almost a century's worth of experiences. And she's still going strong because she has a cooking school now. But Wheezy, I'm going to go to you, and okay. I'm just curious, what's the first visual memory you had?
The first visual memory?
The first
memory?
Thing you remember seeing when you were a baby or a child.
The thing that pops into my head was going for tea when I was probably 5 years old, because they gave me a cup and saucer.
Oh.
It was at a department store in Denver, Colorado.
And you were with your mother, I'm guessing?
I was with my mother and my sister. And her daughter.
That's lovely.
They were, and her daughter. My sister was 22 years older than I.
Oh, you had a big family? Many in between?
Yes, I had a wonderful sister and three outstanding brothers. And then when my mother was 50, I popped up.
Oh, good for her. Lucky woman.
And I never knew my mother. She died when I was five.
Oh, that is so sad.
Well, who, but I had these wonderful siblings.
And is that who raised you and took care of you, your older sister?
In a way, my father put me in boarding school.
Oh, at
what
age?
Which I hated.
Oh, in the first grade?
In the second grade.
Uh-huh. And what was
and
that like?
I was
Where
there
was
for until the eighth grade when I got to come out, throw my uniform away, and wear regular clothes and go to a local junior high school.
You're smiling. I say so often, I wish this were a television moment. First of all, strawberry blonde hair, bright blue eyes, and a smile that really needs to be seen. But as we're radio, I'm going to have to describe these things. So you went to a boarding school. Was that near enough home that you could come home and visit?
I came home once a month.
Uh-huh.
My sister came and brought me in. But I was always a little envious of my two nieces because they were about 2 and 4 years younger than I, and they got to wear clothes, I had to wear a uniform.
And so that was a big thing. Was it because you didn't want to have to be identical to everyone else?
It was a Catholic boarding school.
No, I realize that, but the downside of wearing when girls don't like to wear uniforms. Never had to wear one, so I don't know.
Well,
it's just limiting?
Yes, yes. And it's not a pretty or attractive or colorful.
Okay.
So,
and it identifies you somehow as they want you identified and not how you
identify? Yeah, they don't want anybody any different from anybody else. So that's
they
how
didn't know
they
who they were
it.
Dealing with.
Yeah, they did. So they kept telling me that they were training me to be a nun, and I said, oh, no way.
Oh,
no way.
You knew that right away.
Absolutely did.
Oh. And did you know what you wanted to do then?
No.
Yes, but you knew what you didn't want to do.
I just wanted to get out of boarding school.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm glad you did.
And the food was horrible. And this is funny. My girlfriend and I, we would chew it and then spit it in our hand. And then when we left, the dining room was in a different building. And then we'd throw it out so the birds could eat it.
Oh, how generous and smart of you, recycling right away.
Yeah.
So you couldn't spit it into a napkin because they were cloth napkins?
That's correct.
And they'd know who you were and what you did for
And so we just filled our hands full of horrible food and threw it away.
And the birds didn't find it so horrible. Oh, good for you and good for the birds. When you got back into junior high school, life was good? I mean, you felt happy about being back home? And
very
good.
Much so. And then my oldest brother asked my father if they could take me. And they were going to Panama. And I went with them.
Oh.
And I lived with them all my 15th year and went to school in Panama. And that's when I knew that I was not going to ever live in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, okay.
I knew it in my mind, although I was only 15.
Did you want to live in Panama? Or you
no,
just,
I wanted
open to
live
you,
in the world.
Oh,
I knew that I wanted to go see places.
And did that have to do with your joining the Navy? Well, you went to nursing school first, right?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Tell
in
about
Colorado.
That.
I went for 1 year to the University of Denver. And then the war was on, mm-hmm. and I decided to go into nursing at Children's Hospital, mm-hmm. which was a very excellent experience for me. Mm-hmm. I really, really liked it. And when I graduated, I enrolled in the Navy.
With an eye towards seeing the world?
Yeah, but actually it was more oriented to serving the country.
Oh, good for you. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And what was that? Where were you and how long was it?
I enrolled in Colorado, mm-hmm. and then they sent me to San Diego, where I was part of a triage team.
Mm-hmm. For wounded soldiers brought home?
From Southeast Asia.
Uh-huh. And did you stay in San Diego, or were you ever on a ship? Did you see the world?
No, I was always in San Diego, mm-hmm. and then I met this
Tell gentleman. Us about that. Okay.
I met a Navy pilot, mm-hmm. and that's what the letter's all about.
Can you tell us about him a little bit?
Well, my husband, who passed away a year ago, mm-hmm. was probably the kindest, most gentleman, just very bright. He had talents. He loved to do stained glass, and he was just a good man, a good father, mm-hmm. and a wonderful person.
And that was who filled your heart right from the first you saw him?
Yes, actually, mm-hmm. yes.
What was your first, what did you see when you looked at him? Handsome?
He was.
Go ahead.
No, but he was very good looking. Mm-hmm.
And, do you remember the first conversation you ever had?
Well, he came up and I met him at a tea dance that mm-hmm. the Junior League of San Diego mm-hmm. had for the military mm-hmm. once a month at the Hotel Del Coronado.
Oh, sure. I remember that. Yeah.
And I was a figure skater, mm-hmm. and I was supposed to go to a competition in L.A., and I missed the train. And my girlfriend said, "Stop pouting. Let's go to this tea dance." It's amazing how things happen.
Yes, it is.
So I went with her to the tea dance, and this very handsome lieutenant mm-hmm. came up and asked me to dance. And then he asked me again, and then he asked me again.
Nice. And that was pretty much it. You were together. Yes. Were you separated then because of the war?
No. And then I didn't hear from him for 2 weeks.
What did you think?
I thought, well, he enjoyed my company, mm-hmm. period. Mm-hmm. But he was breaking something off in Seattle.
Oh.
And I was engaged to a West Pointer, but it wasn't a thing of love, really. I wanted the ring.
Mm-hmm. Because you were young and that's what came
and,
next.
If you had a West Point ring, that was quite something.
Oh, the West Point ring.
Yes.
Not the diamond ring, the West
Point
ring.
No, the West Point ring. And that's it. So anyway, I sent it back.
With a letter?
Oh, of course.
Do you remember what you told him?
No. I don't. I just said I'm in the war and mm-hmm. things are not clear. Mm-hmm. And
did you hear back from him?
Oh, yes. We corresponded a couple of times.
Oh, and he accepted that?
Yes.
Uh-huh. He wasn't?
No. I don't think we really had
it. Yes. So it was good that you noticed that and acted on it. So your husband was breaking it off with somebody else mm-hmm. and clearing the deck before he took on another.
Before he called me.
And how gentlemanly and excellent moral behavior is that? That's wonderful.
Oh, no, that's the way he was.
That's just wonderful. Yeah.
And he was a good man. In the Depression, his family lost everything. Mm-hmm. And my husband bought them a home, his parents. And mm-hmm. he was just a good person.
That's wonderful. Now, you came here today with a letter.
Yes. Would you like me to read it?
I would like you to read it, but I'd like you to tell first, if you would. This is from you.
This is from me when I was an ensign in the Navy Nurse Corps mm-hmm. in 1945 in San Diego. And I knew that, and Howard knew that we wanted to get married.
Mm-hmm. And so, where was he that you wrote to him?
No, I wrote to my niece.
Oh, you wrote to your niece about it. I misunderstood. See, that's why I wanted you to clarify that.
Yeah, this letter is to my niece
okay.
about
And she gave it back to you at some point?
My niece is deceased. Her daughter
found it.
My namesake, Mary Louise Jenkins, so she's Wheezy Jr. She found it and sent it to me.
How wonderful that she did that.
It is. Yes. So I've had it about 2 years.
Okay. What was your first reaction when you read it again?
Oh, I just smiled and laughed and enjoyed it and thought, well, that's indeed how I felt.
See, now, I just want to say, isn't that amazing? Because even though circumstances change in life, and this is 1945, so that's how many years ago? Well, that's 60 years ago.
Well, you know, my husband and I were married 67 years.
Yes.
So this is 65, about 70
yes.
years.
And the truth you put to paper will always remain your truth,
yes.
even if life changes or even if you feel different.
No, you're quite right.
That truth about how you felt yeah. then, and isn't it nice to learn about yourself again?
Yes,
okay,
it is.
Would you read it to us?
I will, because I think it's just pretty.
And, you know, you pointed out, I just want to say, oh, look. See, you wrote something on the envelope.
I wrote, Sharpu, that's my niece.
Uh-huh.
He's a luscious dancer, too.
Woo-woo.
Woo-woo.
And it says airmail special delivery. I mean, this is 1945. And
13 cents.
Thank you. 13 cents.
Yeah.
And it, we used very lightweight stationery that didn't weigh a lot when
yeah.
we were sending something airmail because
yes.
it was less expensive that way.
And this is personal, my personal
one. Yes, personal, beautiful stationery that looks like it's pretty much brand new. I mean, your handwriting is gorgeous. Okay, you read.
And a Sharpu is my niece,
okay.
my sister's oldest daughter. My sister, as I said, was 22 years older than I.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her oldest daughter who was 2 years younger than I.
Okay, so like peers.
Exactly. Yes. So I wrote her, Sharpu, my sweet, the opportunity has arisen. You now have a chance to be Stooley Tooley. That's what she called me. Stooley Tooley's maid of honor. Howard and I, after much common sense talk and deliberation over this, that, and the other, have come to the conclusion we knew we'd arrive at before we ever began to talk about it. That is the surprising fact that we're going to be married. I knew that I wouldn't be happy until I got him 3 months ago. He just fitted all the requirements I marked down for my man. Anyway, we've set the date for August 25th, 1945, and you'd just better plan on being here. You know this happens but once in a lifetime. I guarantee you'll be well taken care of by all of Howard's pilot friends, and they are a wonderful group of fellows. I'm going to wear white, and I think you'd look pretty in yellow. Since you'll be my only attendant, I'll leave the choice up to you. Sharpu, come out soon. Tully needs you to gush tooth. That's Tully, they
mm-hmm.
told me. We've already got our apartment, 4 rooms, something like Inky Lee's. I don't know who Inky Lee is.
Okay.
I just never thought I'd ever love anyone like this. Man, it's wonderful. Much to tell Mapu, that's her mother, my sister.
Mm-hmm.
We'll write her tomorrow and state little details. Please, Sharpu, my understanding ally, calm the ruffled spirits of the family, if any exist. None did. I know full well what I am doing, and I haven't been more sure of doing right in my life. Write pronto and let me know the score. I love you, Wheezy. P.S. Get your ticket as soon as you can. There's no reason in the world you can't come out 10 days early, and this is the only time I have off, so we are taking advantage of it. Oh, that man. Wait till you meet him. He's my honey.
Oh, that is wonderful. Oh, my goodness.
And that was written the 4th of August, 1945. We were married the 25th of August.
Now, did your husband ever see this letter?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That I can't say.
Yes. That's kind of one of the beautiful, interesting, mysterious things about love letters, I think.
Yes.
Where they end up, because it wasn't to him.
No, it was to my niece
yes,
about him.
Yes. And that is a love letter kind of Well, it's definitely a love letter to your niece because you are including her in something huge in your life.
Exactly.
And did she wear yellow?
You know, I don't remember. I did wear white, and I wore my very dear friend in nursing. I wore her veil because she was in Los Angeles, and she let me have her veil.
Nice. Now, you do refer in here, I'm just curious, about to soothe any family, any ruffled feathers. Did you expect there to be any?
Well, I didn't know if they thought I didn't know what I was doing.
Because you were
because
young?
Because I'd only known him 3 months.
Ah, uh-huh. Okay.
And they thought, they might have, but they didn't. Nobody.
Yes.
I think they were all happy for me.
I'm sure. And did he have a big family?
Howard had his parents and a brother.
And they must have been thrilled.
And his parents came out. He paid for them to come to the wedding.
Nice. So you were happily married, you say, for
67 years. And my husband passed away a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what amazing times we had together. His life was a life that I couldn't have been happier to be part of.
And what was his life?
Remember I told you I really wanted to travel, that I came to that realization when I was 15 and living in Panama. And he was in the Navy Diplomatic Corps. So we lived in Italy for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We lived in Turkey for 3 years. We lived in Washington, D.C. We lived in Newport, Rhode Island. We lived in...
It was more than traveling. It was really getting to experience life in different places.
Absolutely. And we put our son in the school of the country we lived in, because which a lot of my peers and other Navy wives thought that I was nuts.
They wanted the American school?
Yes. And I said, well, I'm not living here to be an American. I'm living here to learn about the country.
So he grew up speaking a lot of languages.
I did.
How
and
wonderful.
My son became an international banker because of the opportunities that we heavied him with.
Yes. And he's grateful for that, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Yes. Oh, that is so nice. What, as your marriage progressed, at what point did you, were you nursing? Were you practicing as a nurse?
Yes, I was. I worked at the National Institutes of Health. When, this is, just shows you how stupid our government is every now and then.
Yeah.
When I got married, they released me from the Navy. And I said, why don't you kick my husband out and keep
He's
me?
He's married too.
Yeah, exactly. I said, I really don't understand this. Uh-huh. But anyway, I was released from the Navy, and I got a very good job, paid me double what the Navy did in San Diego. I worked for a private doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I worked in different places, like I was at the National Institutes of Health in Washington, D.C.
This was all actually as practical nursing, or was it administrative at some point?
Oh, no. They were doing research at NIH.
Right, and that's why I'm asking. I
was part of a research program.
On a particular topic?
A couple of diseases that they were doing, researching medicines, and you would either give the medicine or a placebo.
Right.
And
and what about after nursing? How long did you do that? Because I just wanted to get to, because I'm curious, when you started, what the other jobs were, and that you started a cooking school.
Well, when we were in Washington, D.C., I went back to the university because I'd been in the military. It was paid for. I got my bachelor's and my master's in education and chemistry. And so, as I said, I worked at National Institutes of Health. Then I taught when Howard was stationed in Alameda at the Naval Air Station. I taught at Kaiser. Mm-hmm. Kaiser had a school of nursing in Oakland. So on two occasions, I taught for Kaiser in their school of nursing. It was wonderful. Then they were going to close it.
You had such a smile when you said that. What was the most wonderful part about it?
Just the whole foundation. They gave the faculty anything that we wanted, we got. Mm-hmm. And the teaching facilities were excellent. It was just a pleasure of a job. And unfortunately, they closed their school. Mm. They've regretted it, but they did. So I used to teach the student nurses about one night a week. I'd stay at the school and do some cooking thing. And they liked that. They thought that was fun.
You did it like for their dining room? Is that
no? Just for the students who wanted to learn to make something. And I like to cook. So I thought, gee, they're going to close it. You know, I'd really love to go abroad and study culinary arts and maybe have a school. So when Kaiser closed, they offered all of the faculty members a job within the system or a year's pay.
I see where you're
going. And they paid me very generously. So I took the year's pay, and this very nice husband of mine.
Oh, I was going to ask about that.
Yeah,
yes.
He said, you know, do exactly what you want. It's your money. You do with it. And he said, if you want to go study in France, I'll fly over every couple of months, and we'll get together. So that's what I did. I went to the Cordon Bleu. I worked in a couple of hotel kitchens. I worked in a couple of French restaurants. And I developed my skills and got a decent background. And then I came home and opened up my school.
Oh, that's great. What, now, did you have a specialty? I mean, something within cooking that you like best? I mean, was it pastry or?
No, I do a few pastry things, but I am not a pastry chef. I am a chef de cuisine.
And it's, so where did you open the school, and what did that? How did you go about that? You find a place first?
No, I opened a school in my home. I have a city license, and my kitchen is very lovely, and it holds 15 people. So I do demo, not hands-on. In the summertime, for 3 weeks every summer, I have children's classes.
Wow.
Those are hands-on, and I have 6 or 7 children.
How old are the children?
9 to 12. And then we have 2 field trips.
Where?
Chez Panisse.
Uh-huh.
And they're great there. Alice Waters couldn't be nicer. And they take the children on a tour of the whole restaurant, and they show them how they keep their meats, how they keep their vegetables, how they recycle. And then they have a little house in the corner, and they ask the kids, they say, do you know what that house is for? And nobody does. So they say, that's where we keep our tomatoes. And then they look at each child and say, you never put a tomato in the refrigerator.
Yes, right.
So,
yes.
And then we go upstairs to the cafe for lunch, and they take 2 children at a time behind the counter and make their own pizza.
My goodness.
It's a great experience.
And where's the other field trip you said you take on
to? We go to Semi Frady's,
which is
the bakery, and they Semi Frady's has moved to Alameda. And they just got a huge check back because the whole bakery is on what you call the sun heat, not electric or gas.
Oh, like solar.
It's solar heated, the whole bakery. And so the children get a tour of the bakery and the things that they do and get to see the solar heating system.
Just remarkable.
It is. And then I have another place that we go. It's called Pastorama, and it's in Oakland, and they make pasta for shops like Market Hall and different other.
So you are still in the midst of everything going on.
What do you mean?
Well, cooking school and taking people to these places and
And then people, my students said, you know, we love hearing about your experiences you and mm-hmm. Howard had living abroad. Why don't you take us?
Oh, my goodness.
So
are you going to do that?
We, for 20 years, Howard and I did a motoring with the Motts. We took...
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but you're just endless. Yes, go ahead.
And we took two groups a year to places that we've been and new people. And like we took four groups to Turkey. Mm-hmm. And one of our very good friends is the head admiral of the Turkish Navy. So he would arrange for our group to have lunch in the admiral's dining room on the Bosporus. No travel agency could do that.
No.
And then they had us to their home. And we just had experiences that private travel groups
of course.
Have.
Now, how do people find you if they want to come to cooking school? Or is this just word of mouth in your
It's actually word of mouth.
Yes.
I've never been on
a website
on
or anything?
No, I have no website.
For those who are listening to this and might want to join you or at least get to know you or take you to lunch or something, they can do what? Just look you up and hope for the best?
I'm on the website. The Chronicle did a huge article on me.
Oh, okay. Oh, so if you Google Wheezy Mott.
You would find me.
W-E-E-Z-I-E.
Right.
M-O-T-T.
Yes.
Google her. And see what you come up with. I'm going to do the same thing.
They would come up with a lot of stuff.
Okay, good. And maybe a way to
And then I belong to the San Francisco Professional Food Society, and I got the annual achievement award.
Oh, wonderful.
Two years ago.
That's
which
great.
Which was really
So you're still doing everything, thrill. And I just thank you so much. Wheezy and I met at a birthday luncheon. She sat across from me. And I was just listening to her chat about what she does and looking into those blue eyes and that smile and had just the temerity to go across the table and say, would you do a love letters with me?
I'm so lucky to be healthy.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's another thing.
That means a lot.
But it occurred to me that there is no end to what you can be doing in life. And luck and health.
That's right.
Luck and health has
it.
But you are such an example, and you pointed out a couple of times that you're 92.
That's right.
So I think that means you want the message to get out there also.
That absolutely.
Yes.
My secret is don't just sit on your ass. Just get up, volunteer, do something.
Yes.
That keeps you going. If you sit back and don't do anything, you'll gradually lose your ability to walk, to...
Oh, physically, yes,
physically.
That's true. But also, you've been acting...
And mentally.
Yes, I was going to say that part. You've been acting on every one of your talents and abilities and imaginative thoughts for what to do as they come up. You don't put them on some back burner.
No.
You whip right... Oh, this is... Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to know you.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for reading that letter, which is so perfect.
I treasure it.
Here, it has, of course you do. And it's just beautiful, and it has so many specifics in it. Specifics of what to wear, and specifics about your husband. And a good love letter is just filled with those. So write them, and you will see that they'll become part of your own history, documented in your own hand. And even if you've written it to somebody else, it'll come back to you someday, chances are.
And he was a luscious dancer, too.
And he was a luscious dancer, and the memories keep going. And by the way, when you look at a letter like that, you start to remember things that you may not have thought about yesterday.
No, that's true. That's
It
brings back a whole flood of memories.
Yes, and that's the beauty of them. That's one of the beauties of them. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen and
Wheezy Mott
saying goodbye, and I want to remind you, as I always do, that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion, and guess what? reading it for the next 60 years will also be a special occasion.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Wheezy. Goodbye for now.